Welcome to God at Work, Stories of Grace and Faith. I'm your host, Chuck Groover, and this week is the first of what I hope to be many of our monthly Bible study episodes. And this month's lesson I'm actually taking from a Sunday school lesson I taught the Sunday after Thanksgiving on holiness and Thanksgiving. And when I started out, I pretty much, the original lesson, I asked around the room for volunteers over the last year, things that they were thankful for. And you get a number of various responses. You also have the usual friends, family, to live in a country where we're able to worship freely. But there are also just financial blessings and other sorts of blessings that everyone was mentioning that they're thankful for. And when you look at the concept of Thanksgiving, it's defined as the expression of gratitude. So then, what are some ways that we kind of show our appreciation for everything that we're actually thankful for? Again, got various responses to that question. When you ask people that, a lot of times it's just stating thank you or things like that. But the biggest question is, how do we as Christians express our gratitude towards God and what He has done for us? And that's where I would say that our holiness is an act of thanksgiving towards God. And now some of you might be wondering, what exactly is holiness? Well, I might go back and do my lessons on holiness, but to sum it up, it's basically, holiness is our outward expression of our inward hope. It's basically us living out our Christian faith, our growing closer to God, and everything. And the reason why I can say that our holiness is an act of thanksgiving towards God is when you actually look at Romans 12. So Romans 12, verses 1 through 3. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, and each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. Now, if you notice, with this first part of Romans 12, Paul starts out pretty much by stating, therefore. And as I hate some of the cliche phrases and things, such as, like, grace being God's riches at Christ's expense, justified just as if I had never sinned. The one about therefore, seeing what the therefore is there for, really helps to understand what Paul is getting at here. You see, up to this point, Paul has pretty much presented the gospel. In fact, when you look at the evangelism method called the Romans Road, it pretty much outlines how to basically the work of salvation using Romans up through pretty much Romans 12. You see, Paul has stated how God has revealed himself to us so that none are without excuse. He has stated how we are given over to our sinful desires, and we will never measure up to God's standard. He explained how, while we were enemies with God, God had the mercy to offer up his only Son as a sacrifice to atone for our sins. We are told that because of Christ's sacrifice, God is able to freely offer us grace, and because of that grace, we are able to respond in faith. You see, up to this point, Paul explains how in our flesh, we do everything wrong. Yet regardless, God loves us enough to offer us grace. So then Paul starts out Romans 12, telling us that because of all of what God has done, and what we are unable to do ourselves, this following should be our response, in other words, our expression of gratitude towards God. You see, Romans 12 is pretty much the hinge point of the book of Romans, where the first part talks about how we are saved. Then you have Romans 12, and after Romans 12, you have, because we are saved, this is how we should be. So, the first question you might ask is, what does this offering ourselves as a living sacrifice in Romans 12:1 actually mean? Well, in Jesus' words, it was actually a daily denying of ourselves. You see, if we look in the Gospel of Luke, Luke 9:23, and he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And then Luke 14:27, whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. See, Jesus told us it's a daily occurrence. I know nowadays we look at the cross as just being a symbol, but back in Jesus' time and Paul's time, the imagery Jesus was showing here was basically as if we were to say, take up your electric chair, or take up lethal injection and follow me. Basically, the cross was a form of execution, or as God used it, the perfect sacrifice, blood sacrifice that needed to be offered for our sins. So this daily denying of ourselves, I mean, I know personally there are times when I have to put down my fleshly desires. I mean, I know there are many times when my flesh will want to stay home rather than going to church on Sunday. But when I deny the flesh and allow the spirit to be in control, I actually find myself desiring to go to church, regardless of how my flesh may feel about it. And that's just one area out of many in my life, and it's a daily struggle, which is why Jesus stated that we need to take up our cross daily, and Paul calls it a living sacrifice. So what does this living sacrifice actually look like? And to an extent, as I mentioned, that's what the rest of Romans actually presents. But in a nutshell, you pretty much just look at a few key verses, such as the first thing is it's a renewing of our minds, Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. You see, it's not following the ways of the world. Pretty much, when you look at the world says we're to be independent. But you see, instead of the concept of trying to be independent, as Christians, we should be humbling ourselves to depend entirely on God. It means we take the focus off of what will please us, and rather look towards what will please God. And that's why Paul can state we will know the will of God when we allow our minds to be transformed. It is a transformation to God's way of thinking rather than the world's. I mean, one verse I like to always point out is in the Psalms of delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Where it's not God giving us what we want, but it's God's changing our hearts to line and our desires to line more with his as we take our focus off of ourselves and place it more onto him. And Romans 12:9 through 21 is actually a good example of what some of this renewing of our mind and not being conformed to the world and transforming our mind, renewing our mind, actually looks like. And although pretty much the rest of Romans is Paul describing what this transformed life should look like, Peter actually calls it, as I mentioned before, the hope that is within us. And as I said, I might go back and do my lessons on holiness, so you can understand more where I'm coming from regarding 1 Peter 3:15. But to look at Romans 12:9-21, let love be genuine, abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal, be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints, and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another, do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. As I said, this is a good example of what basically not being conformed to the world, but being transformed by renewing our minds, looks like. But you see, it's also this daily sacrifice is also, and not being conformed to the world, is living in unity with fellow believers and helping each other grow in our faith. And to that, we jump ahead to Romans 15. where basically we who are strong have an obligation to bear with the fallings of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good to build him up. Verse 5, may the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Jesus Christ, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then verse 14, I myself am satisfied about you, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to instruct one another. You see, Paul just got finished talking about how we are not to pass judgment on each other, rather regarding personal convictions or due to our weaknesses, as well as not to use our personal convictions as a place to place stumbling blocks in the way of believers. And that's actually one of a number of passages where Paul is doing this. And the thing is, it is not just to pass judgment, but we are to help each other grow in our faith. Again, it's more of that denying the flesh, as we tend to usually want to put others down for their failings and weaknesses, as it tends to make ourselves look good, or it takes the focus away from our own problems. Instead, our holiness should have us coming alongside our brethren and encouraging them, helping to strengthen them in their faith, rather than tear them down. You see, most of the time in the Bible, when we're called not to judge one another, it's not that we aren't to point out clear sins, but it is that we're not to act in such a way as to tear one another down. Essentially, part of our holiness is discipleship. And this kind of discipleship of what you see here is not anything specifically formal where you need to have classes and training in how to disciple. What this form of discipleship looks like is just sharing with each other what we have learned, so that we can basically encourage and strengthen each other. And, I mean, sometimes discipleship is not just a student-teacher type relationship. Sometimes discipleship is a mutual thing where both people are bringing something to the table that helps the other to grow. I mean, when I look at it, I would say I'm not in any sort of formal discipleship training or being discipled, but I know there are those more spiritually mature people in my life that, while not in a formal discipleship relationship with them, to an extent, they do disciple me. There are those that I can go to if I have questions regarding preparing lessons or trying to understand verses, or just if I have questions. And they're always there to answer those questions and help keep me on the right path and steer me in the right direction. So, you see, when we strive towards holiness, when we're expressing outwardly the hope that we have within, as well as helping each other to do the same, it is actually pleasing to God, and it's actually our way of, again, expressing gratitude for the grace which we have received. And one thing that, when I originally taught this lesson, the week before, the person who gave the sermon at church challenged everyone to share the gospel with someone that needed to hear it in that next week. So I give you that challenge, but I'm also giving you the challenge that I gave when I originally taught this lesson of not just share the gospel with someone that needs to hear it, but also start regularly encouraging and building up your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, including those that you may share the gospel with, as you're the best one to start discipling them, helping them to grow. No matter how far along you are, you can always teach them what you have learned yourself. So again, this is Chuck Groover, and that is God at Work. Thank you for listening to God at Work, Stories of Grace and Faith. You can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at God at Work Podcast. If you have comments, suggestions, or a story you would like to be considered for the podcast, you can email us at stories@godatworkpodcast.com. If you enjoy this podcast and want to help support us, go to patreon.com/godatworkpodcast, or you can also support us by leaving us a review on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. God at Work, Stories of Grace and Faith, is brought to you by Becoming God's Man Ministries, and is recorded and produced by me, Chuck Groover. Theme music for God at Work is by the band 39 Stripes and can be found at facebook.com/39stripes. And again, thank you for listening.